Blog Talk Radio.
And welcome to this week's segment of Live Without Limits. Today's show is titled, How to Get What You Really Want. And one of the reasons that we want to talk about this as a topic is real simple. That who we are and what we really want is, if you look at someone's personality, you can tell what they really want. But it also has to be, do you really know who you are? What do you think your life would be like if you only chased after what you really, truly wanted instead of what you think you should want? Let's imagine this. Maybe you felt this way before. You're looking at pictures and updates from your friends, seeing what they did this weekend, sitting around the fireplace laughing, sipping tropical drinks on the beach, cooking in their fancy kitchen, climbing mountains. And you think to yourself, I want to do that. But do you really? Or is there something else in the pictures that you really want? When you want what they have, this is typical of almost so many people, is they don't really know what they want. They typically want what someone else has. Yeah. And it goes back to the phrase, keeping up with the Joneses. When you want what they have, I met with a friend recently who said she went hiking after being inspired by my pictures. And she was miserable. You know why? Because she didn't want to hike. She thought she did. That's not what she was after. What was she really chasing? When she saw pictures of me hiking, happy, tired, accomplished, she thought she wanted to hike. She saw me climbing over rocks, standing at the summit. But then when she was in the same situation, she hadn't enjoyed it at all. Because hiking is not what she actually was seeing in the pictures. What she was seeing in my face was something that goes back deeper than hiking, and in the end has very little to do with hiking at all. What she really saw was me enjoying myself and satisfied with my life, and that is what she really wanted. She wanted to feel the way that I feel when I hiked. And when she didn't get that feeling I get, she didn't enjoy it. I love to hike. When I spend a day out hiking, I feel alive. I lose track of time. And there's no place I would rather be than right where I am at that moment. But not everyone feels that way. The often failed pursuit of happiness. Some people like to watch movies, cook, dance, ride horses, or paint. You may or may not like any of these things. So chasing happiness by doing what has worked for others does not guarantee that you will like it. Don't chase after something just because you see someone else has it. And imagine that because they have it, you must have it too. If something they are doing is aligned with their life but not aligned with yours, you are bound to be disappointed. You are to do what's right for you. For me, that's hiking, speaking, running, playing guitar, creating great software. But do not waste your time chasing something because you think it will bring you the happiness it brought other people. So the next time you see people on TV drinking beer and hanging out watching football, ask yourself, do I need beer? Do I need to watch football? Or what is it that I really, really want that will bring me the same happiness? Are you doing what matters to you or floating? If you aren't sure what to do with your life, if you are perhaps floating through every day, not sure what comes next, there are two things I want you to know. First, that's more common than you think. I see it all the time. And second, that's also a problem because it often means you are throwing away weeks and months of your life, spinning your wheels for nothing in particular. Time is your most valuable resource, and once it's gone forever. That's why at every moment you must live your life, because there is no one-size-fits-all to the fullest. How would it feel doing things, knowing that your life is going in the best direction for you? You can feel that way, setting a course for your life, whether it's for a few years or just the next few weeks, is covered in intense depth in the action solution. I call it your compass. And let's put it this way. We don't realize that sometimes what do? We let others make our decisions for us. Think about it. For many of us, when we take vacations, what do? We do exactly what everyone else does. And you know, that may not be right for you. You have to think about what's right for you. And why is that important? Because even in our careers, if we see someone else doing something that we think might be fun, what do? We jump right into it instead of deciding, is that what we really want to do for ourselves? It is almost impossible to overstate how important finding your own compass is in living a great life. A life that matters, because if you work hard towards something that doesn't matter to you, then you do yourself a disservice to your goals. That do matter. By always chasing what others are chasing, you'll always be living a wanting life. A life where you want this, you want that. And then when you get it, it does not satisfy you. You know what? Let's think about this. The child says, I want. And what do they want? They want ice cream. They want cake. They want something that's sweet or something that makes them feel good. And why? And I can tell you, sometimes a child, depending on the kind of relationship they have with the parents, they will often ask for things because if the parent gives it to them, then maybe that's their validation that that parent really loves them, because they're saying that it's because they know that what they really want may be the love, the hug, the holding, and the parent is incapable of holding their child, of loving their child. So the child will ask for sweets, because a sweet is a substitution for what they really want from the parent. And the child may not understand it. They may not be able to verbalize it. All they know is they want something. By always chasing what others are chasing, you'll always be living a wanting life, a life where you want this, you want that. And then when you get it, it does not satisfy you. On the flip side, when you begin each day with a sense of purpose and knowing that what you are doing today is the precise right thing for you, everything you accomplish satisfies you. Once you start to live with that feeling that each day and every action you take matters, not only will you be more productive, but you'll feel great as you actually get things done that matter to you in life and have more joy and happiness in the journey. The difference between living a life where you feel every day matters versus one will you watch the days go by and will turn you into a different person, happy, fulfilled, content, and successful. Now, let's talk about why that is important to us. Why it's important to live that quality of life that will help you be and teach you to be the person that you truly should be or want to be. And why is that? Because think about it. In today's workplace, if you understand what your personality is, and very much each personality determines what kind of job you do. Because think about it, there's four pure styles of behavior. And if you understand those styles of behavior and how they work, guess what that will do for you? That will teach you how to be the person that you truly, truly want to be. And for that, what I would like to do is discuss some of the styles of behavior that will help you be and help you understand who you are in today's life. Styles of behavior, and guess what will happen to you as an individual? In it teaches you to be productive in today's world. And teach you to understand and live to the fullest the lifestyle that you truly want in life. And it will help you teach yourself how to think about your life and who you are. What I want to do is talk about that what you do is you have different personality styles. And I want to discuss some things about what these kind of people do, because maybe it will help you understand how you fit into the workplace and how when you're happy at doing what you enjoy doing and it fits your personality style, then you know you can understand why, even in leisure, it's what makes you happy and how to talk to someone, how to communicate with them. And the first personality is someone who's a high D, and their emphasis is on shaping the environment by overcoming opposition to accomplish results. And this person's tendencies include getting immediate results, causing action, accepting challenges, making quick decisions, questioning the status quo, taking authority, managing trouble, solving problems. And what this person needs to do or others need to do when they are with them is to weigh the pros and cons, calculate risks, use caution, structure a more predictable environment, research facts, deliver it before deciding, recognize the needs of others. That is, that when you have these styles of behavior, that what happens is someone who is a dominant behavior pattern, this is how they interact with other people. And then the other style, and the dominant and the influencing personalities, those are people that are very outgoing, very into being around people. There's the third style of the conscientiousness and the steadiness style, and those are people that are very reserved, very introverted, who enjoy doing things alone. So if you understand what you enjoy doing, what makes you feel good, then you know what? Then that will be something that you can use to help you determine what kind of work environment you enjoy being in and what type of people that you like to associate with. And the influencing person puts emphasis on shaping the environment by influencing or persuading others. And that's someone who's very verbal. That's the speaker. That's the trainer. That's the people who, when they're at a party, they can be talking business. And this person's tendencies include contacting people, making favorable impressions, verbalizing with articulateness, creating a motivational environment, gathering enthusiasm, entertaining people, viewing people and situations optimistically, participating in groups. And this person needs others who concentrate on the task, seek facts, speak directly, respect sincerity, develop systematic approaches, prefer dealing with things to dealing with people. Take a logical approach. Demonstrate individual follow-through. And that's because some of these people, they tend to move from subject to subject, so you need to understand who these people are and how they relate to each other. And the conscientiousness behavior pattern puts emphasis on working conscientiously within existing circumstances to ensure quality and accuracy. This person will always ask questions before they make a decision. They're very deliberate in how they decide things and what they do. They are not going to make a decision immediately like the person who's a dominant personality. They will do that, and guess what? They are usually on top of things because they're good. They really know all the facts and where they are. And guess what? It will help you in everything that will put you exactly where you want to be. And now, the conscientiousness personality is tendencies include attention to key deliveries of standards, concentrating on key details, thinking analytically, weighing pros and cons, being diplomatic with people, using subtle and indirect approaches to conflict, checking for accuracy, analyzing performance critically, using a systematic approach to situations or activity. And people they need around them are people who delegate important tasks, make quick decisions, use policies only as guidelines, compromise with the opposition, stay on popular positions, initiate and facilitate discussions, encourage teamwork. And the last personality that we're going to discuss is the steadiness personality. And they put emphasis on cooperating with others to carry out the task. And this person's tendencies include performing in consistent, predictable manner. And let's talk back up a minute and talk about the steadiness personality. This is someone that will follow directions to the T. Everything they do is determined by what the mission is and the steps that it takes to get to the mission. They focus in on how to get to the final goal. And their tendencies are performing in a consistent, predictable manner, demonstrating patience, developing specialized skills, desiring to help others, showing loyalty, being a good listener, calming, excited people, creating a stable, harmonious work environment. And an action plan on how they deal with people is to react quickly to unexpected change. That is, they need someone around them who can react quickly to unexpected change, stretch toward the challenges of accepted tasks, become involved in more than one thing, and are self-promoting, apply pressure on others, work comfortably in an uncomfortable environment, help prioritize work, and they're flexible in work procedures. And one of the reasons I wanted to go over this in helping you understand what you really want is because, you know, your personality really influences who you are and the things that you like to do. Some people can sit there and work at a computer for hours, or they can just sit there and read a book, especially if it's something that they enjoy. And let me tell you something. One of the things that I tend to read when it comes to not having, you know, having free time or romance novels, why? Because I grew up in an environment that was very dysfunctional, and I did not have the kind of parents who were demonstrative when it came to love. I did not have parents who really loved each other, and it was obvious in their interaction with each other and the way they interact with their children. And what happens when, as an adult, because that's the environment that I grew up in, what would I end up doing? I would have ended up involved with someone that would have abused me. And because I grew up with a disability in an era when people with disabilities were shunned, were hidden away, that in conjunction with what went on in the family, even though my personality, my natural behavioral stuff is to be very outgoing, was that I tend to lock myself away. So, yes, I enjoy being with people. I enjoy speaking. I enjoy doing things. And when I'm around people, I'm very interactive with them. But on a personal scale, I tend to be alone, not because that's my personality, but because of all the other things that happened to me early on. And we forget that when you are looking at characters on a show, even a soap opera, if they're written one way and throughout, and that's consistent, and then all of a sudden a new writer comes on and he totally changes the story and he changes the personality, then because you've seen this character as one way, it just doesn't fit the character and you can't buy into their story anymore. And that's why the characters tend to leave, because they get the feeling that or the actors that play those characters tend to leave after a period of time because it gets stale to them playing the same role every day, because part of an actor's role is that they enjoy change. And it's surprising to me that people, when someone leaves a show, tend not to understand or do not want to what that person is doing at all. But you know, you have to begin to accept those things about people, that nothing is the same, and you have to accept that they know what they really want. If an actor is staying in one role, its tendency is there because somewhere along the line, they are not seeing themselves as being successful anywhere but where they are. And that's why in so many situations, when an actor grows up on a show, like, say, a primetime show like on the Cosby Show or Different Strokes or some of the others, when you look at where they are now, many times they are doing so many different things because in their environment and who they are, that they're capable of so many different things. And what happens is if someone grows up and stay on a soap opera, because you've seen it where an actor will be there, 20, 25 years, and then leave the show and then show up on a different show, or someone comes in to replace them, what happens is there is a big backlash until the actor is able to make the role their own and create it. In certain respects, in certain characters, it does happen because the actor is talented enough for you to begin to accept them over time. But it's going to take more like a couple of years before that happens, before they're able to make that role their own. You have to give them the opportunity to take that time to be aware of what changes need to be made. And for so many of us, the storyline on shows, we may not care for, but the actors, when they're playing it, they're just seeing it as something different and something new and something refreshing in how they play the role. And for them, they may be enjoying what they're doing at that moment, but they're maybe they're aware or they're not aware that the audience is not enjoying it. If the audience is not enjoying it, then guess what? The ratings on that show go down. And for so many years in the land of soap operas, it didn't matter because that was a genre that was bought into on daytime. But as you got into cable, as you started seeing more competition than just the three major networks and which soap opera was better than the other or which storyline was better this month than last month, then the people watching, plus people are, whereas years ago, you had the husband who went out to work and the wife who stayed home and took care of the kids and the house and then the cooking, and then they took their breaks by going and watching a soap opera. Well, those days are gone. So unless the show becomes more entertaining and more enjoyable to the people who are watching it, the genre is going to be out in the next few years because people are going to be ready to watch talk shows where they get information that they can learn from, or they're going to be willing to watch a cooking show where they can learn something new to cook. So there's more competition out there to fight for what it is that they truly want. So people are going to adapt. And if you remember that the whole topic is how do you know what you really want? And if you know yourself, if you are aware of who you are, you understand what you enjoy, that if you are watching, say, on a soap, a love story, then that is what you're able to key into. It's like for me that I grew up with a disability, so I enjoy, if I'm going to watch a soap, when I'm going to be a favorite of a couple, there's got to be something in that relationship that I'm keying in on that's missing in me that I want to see, that I want to see someone else having, because then it makes me believe, well, that can happen for me someday. And that is what is beginning to change when writers don't know how to write romance in a soap opera or keep a couple together just because it fits their plot point, to not keep them together. And we have to understand it's the audience that has to be rewarded in the outcome. And if a show wants to succeed today, they have to be aware of what's going on, who's watching soaps today, what is their experience, what is it that they need, what are they going to get out of it. If you understand that and you understand how what people really want and what makes them happy. For instance, if you remember in the story, he's talking about he likes to go out hiking in his free time, and he really enjoys that because he has a love of nature. And I remember when I was in Girl Scouts, we used to go camping all the time, and I really enjoyed that. But there were a lot of girls that didn't, so they would quit Girl Scouts. So it's a matter of what is your taste? What is it that you really want? And let me remind you, you can go to my website, and that website is the number one, personalcareercoach.com. And you can sign up for either individual or group coaching, and we can help you sit down and work out a mission statement on what it is that you really want and what satisfies you so that you can plan your future.